Welcome to CRE Radio with Howard Klein, radio for and about the commercial real estate professional. Our focus is exploring issues facing landlords and tenants, property and asset managers, investors, brokers, lenders, and everyone in the industry. Our style is conversation over coffee with highly experienced commercial real estate professionals. Over 35 years, Howard's legal and commercial real estate practice has centered on broker, leasing, and property management issues. CRE Radio is presented with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our audience. Access our archive shows, upcoming schedule, and engaging articles at creradio.com or subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching for CRE Radio. And now, here's Howard Klein.
And welcome to CRE Radio. Today we have a special limited edition show with Mike Hillis, the president of SIOR. This is a preview and explanation of the upcoming SIOR conference in Las Vegas starting April 22nd through the 25th, 2014. Mike, before we get into the details of the conference, why don't you give us your 30-second elevator speech and let everybody know who you are and a little bit about SIOR.
Okay. Well, my name is Mike Hillis. I'm with Avison Young Commercial Real Estate in Las Vegas. Basically, I've been in the commercial real estate business for 30 years. I'm licensed both in Nevada and in Utah. I am also serving this year as the president of SIOR, the Society of Industrial and Office Realtors. And that's been a major focus of my attention here recently with a lot of travel and a lot of opportunities to meet people around the country and have an opportunity to interface with them.
Well, great. Congratulations. And when did you start your presidency?
That was in October of 2013, so I'm president through October of 2014. But actually, you go through the chairs in SIOR, so I started as year as a vice president, and then the year as a president-elect, and then president, and then next year I will be the immediate past president, and so all 4 years you're part of the executive committee and serve on the board for SIOR.
Oh, great. Unfortunately, I don't think we had an opportunity to meet in Chicago in November.
No, I was there, and I tell new members when I introduce myself to them that the key to success in SIOR is participating in the conferences, and since I joined SIOR 14 years ago, I have missed one conference, and that's all. And that was in Hawaii in 2001. So how dumb was that?
Yeah, I was going to say, in Hawaii, I mean, seriously, if you chose one to miss, you missed that one?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we take, before we get into the article written by John Salustri, why don't we talk a little bit about this upcoming conference in Las Vegas. I believe it's this month in April. And even before we do that, one of the things I did want to mention is when I was at your conference in Chicago, one of the things that really impressed me was the focus on foreign. Well, I wouldn't say foreign because to them involvement of brokers who were licensed or doing their business outside of the United States. There was a very strong, it's fair to say, foreign influence. Could you tell us a little bit about the foreign influence and what that means to our SIOR?
Yeah, we recognized many probably 5 or 6 years ago the sort of the globalization that was occurring within our industry and the role that we play with brokers obviously it has expanded beyond the U.S. and Canadian borders. So we started an international expansion at that time, mainly focusing on Europe. Over the last several years, we have formed a European Council. We don't call them chapters there in Europe, but we have, I think now there's like 62 members representing 34 countries in Europe and Eastern Europe. And then just recently, we have had a focus on establishing our 48th chapter in Mexico, and I've had the privilege of helping get that going, and I've met three or four times in Mexico, in Monterrey, and in Mexico City with our new members down there. And in fact, we are having, I think there's probably six or seven candidates that will be coming to our Las Vegas conference that will be joining the Mexican chapter. So that's been a huge success, and it's happened obviously a lot more quickly than we had success in Europe with, but just because of the travel restrictions and the fact that there's a lot more ongoing business transactions, as it would seem, between Mexico and the U.S. So globalization is a big part of our future in SIOR. We're working right now with some of our corresponding members in Asia, and we'll hopefully have an initiative going there in the next year or two.
The globalization, that's a much better word than foreign. The globalization of SIOR I found to be most impressive and valuable to the members, because it really seemed to give the SIOR members an opportunity to have someone that they can rely upon in other countries.
Yeah, a great example of that is with the Mexico group. You know, in Mexico, they don't have licensing laws as far as real estate professionals are concerned. If you want to be a commercial real estate broker, you print up a card and you are one. And, you know, so if I've got a client that is interested in doing something in Mexico and I need help from a broker, it's a real gamble unless you know who you're dealing with. And one of the things that we have found with our Mexican counterparts, the minute they put SIOR on their title, the referral business accelerates. And that's simply because anybody, particularly in the U.S., who is looking for help down there, recognizes the fact that if they're an SIOR, they're at the top of their profession. You know, they are the gold standard, as we say in commercial real estate, for industrial and office applications, and so it's made a huge difference for those folks down there.
Yeah, it's not just calling anyone up in order to qualify as an SIOR. Even in other countries, there are certain criteria, and I mean, if you had to just call up any real estate agent in Mexico, as you said, since there's no licensing, you don't know who you're dealing with. And reputation is very important wherever you are. Why don't we take a short break? And when we come back, I'd like to talk about the conference itself.
CRE Radio is supported by Monogram Magic. For the best in corporate apparel, visit logostolife.com. Buy Note Marketplace. Buy and sell notes online at notemarketplace.com. And by Building Blocks CRE. Manage contacts, properties, listings, and more at blockscre.com.
The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today.
What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site. PopUpInsider.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @creradio or email to questions@creradio.com.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the upcoming conference?
Right. We do two conferences a year, spring and fall conference. And this one, of course, is in Las Vegas. The fall conference in October will be in Nashville. We try to move them around the country a bit so that we, you know, can minimize some of the travel that people are involved with. And but the spring conference in Las Vegas is this month, from the 22nd through the 25th. Pre-registration numbers indicate that we're going to have great attendance, probably the best attendance we've had since pre-recession times for a spring conference, which is great. And because obviously the more attendees, the more opportunities for networking and you know, doing some business. So the conference is kind of jam-packed with activities. We have several committees that have their sessions and meetings at the national conferences. And then, of course, we have an educational component that brings in great resources for a variety of different topics of interest for commercial practitioners. And then we have a guest presentations and that sort of thing. So it's an action-packed, you know, dawn to, well, past dark, because there's a lot of dinners and cocktail receptions and so forth in the evenings as well. So people come prepared to roll up their sleeves and accomplish a lot at these sessions. So we're excited about Las Vegas.
Yeah, it was pretty action-packed when I went in Chicago. I particularly also like the education sessions. I attended as many as I could, but like, you know, similar conferences, I get a little frustrated because there are various tracks. So there may be 2, 3, or 4 education sessions going on at the same time, and you want to attend all four, and you can't.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's always a problem.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's better, we think, to have, you know, that kind of a problem than, you know, gee, I don't see anything that interests me. I think I'll go, you know, sit by the pool.
I agree with
you. Yeah, and the other thing that is very that is very focused on specific aspects of our business is the what we call our specialty practice boards, and we have several of those. And for example, just to give you a couple of them, we have one is a tenant rep specialty practice group, and it's primarily designed for people that are doing, you know, tenant rep work, and it's an opportunity to network with other brokers that may have relationships that they can share and focus on just tactics and best practices for tenant rep folks. The other one that I've attended over the years when I was a managing broker is the broker management practice board, and that's made up of owners and managers of commercial real estate companies, and they share ideas as far as you know, how they're structuring their teams. We all compare financials, so we look at what percentage people are spending on marketing and how the split arrangements work and don't work and whatever, and that's been a very valuable resource. So there are several of those that are really focus groups on specific areas that are certainly always well attended.
When I was at the Chicago conference, I think it was Jeff Castleman.
Uh-huh.
Jeff had indicated to me that you were planning for this conference, having, you know, a technology, a whole technology section. I think even a whole technology or social media day. Did that ever come about?
Yeah, that's going to be, I think, Thursday at the conference. I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but Jeff has kind of led our technology group, and it's been a real spark plug in helping us with, you know, getting up to speed with technology. And we really are kind of considered the leading edge of technology of, you know, our peer organizations in commercial real estate, which is amazing because our average member is 54 years old. So you got a bunch of guys that, you know, are still trying to run their fax machines, and nevertheless, we're getting on the leading edge of technology with guys like Jeff that have helped us do that.
What else is special going on at the conference that you might mention?
Well, at most conferences, we have basically outside activities as well, depending on where the venue is. And I think the local SIOR chapter here in southern Nevada has got several side trip things. It's, you know, many people bring their spouses, and primarily that's mainly at the fall conferences. There's really more activities for spouses and that sort of thing. But because of Las Vegas and, you know, there's a lot of things to see and do. There are several side tours of, I think they've got a couple helicopter tours of the Grand Canyon and you know, various other activities, you know, in the local area. So that's just in conjunction with, the, you know, the educational and the networking opportunities at the conference.
Let's take a short break to hear from the people who pay the bills around here. And when we come back, let's talk to Mike about his idea that technology and the merging of small firms into large firms are somehow or another related.
CRE Radio is supported by the National Retail Tenants Association. Learn more at retailtenants.org. By the Institute of Real Estate Management, supporting you at every stage of your career. And by Tactics, the magazine for shopping center marketing directors. Visit tacticsmagazine.com.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to ProspectNow.com and enter the promo code Howard. Visit ProspectNow.com. How about now? While you're thinking about it.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blocks. CRE.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. Click the comment button on any show page at CREradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or send an email to questions@CREradio.com.
Why don't we skip to the article written by John Salustri? That article was titled "The Methodologies for Broker Communication and Transactions is Shifting Light Speed." And in that, there's reference to a shift from smaller shops to bigger shops. The membership of SIOR is shifting quite a bit from smaller shops to bigger shops. Is that what you were referring to in terms of the methodologies of broker communications? I'm not sure that I understood that.
Well, I think what's happened, it's not just the consolidation of service providers that is changing kind of dynamically. A lot of that is a result of the change that we're seeing in technology and how we deliver our services. Used to be, you know, the brokers, the successful brokers were the guys and gals that had the best database that they could control as far as sales and lease comps and what's going on in the market. And that was kind of your competitive edge where you could, you know, you could impress a client with the, with your market knowledge and just the data that you had gleaned through whatever sources. Well, now with the internet and the changes in several different services like the CoStar you know, several of the services that provide that information for a fee to not only your competitors but your clients. You know, I had a client that sent me a note saying, "I'm coming to town. I want to see these four buildings." And the four buildings that he wanted to see were all just copies off of LoopNet that he'd gone online and said, you know, these four buildings would work. And traditionally, that guy would have called the broker and said, I'm looking for a, you know, 50,000 square foot industrial requirement, and you know, can you tell me what's available?" Well, you know, that's changed, and so the client has a lot more information than they had in the past. So the role of the broker obviously is changing, and that's kind of resulted in some of the industry consolidation. We've seen the independent boutique brokerages realizing that if they can team up with a larger firm that has a, more of a national, and in the case of our globalization activities, international footprint, you know, there's advantages to doing that. So in SIOR, we've seen our membership go from 60% of the members being independent operations to just the opposite. Now we have about the majority of our members are part of national firms or networks.
Are you suggesting that that change to the bigger firms is because there's more technology available for the bigger firms?
That and I think people are recognizing the fact that their clients' needs go beyond the borders of their own cities. And so if you really have a valued client and that client wants to do a deal in another state, you know, you need to have the ability to stay involved in that transaction on a referral basis, but, you know, service your client by having a broader footprint rather than just your own, you know, small market. And that's a role that we have fulfilled for years with the independent brokers through SIOR. I mean, with 3,000 members, you know, in virtually every market in the U.S., you could always find an SIOR to do that. And, you know, I think the global or the larger firms recognize the fact that, you know, they need to reach out in the same way. I mean, a good example would be Cushman & Wakefield. You know, they were major players in the big markets, in New York and Dallas and L.A. and whatever, but they had very little representation in the secondary and tertiary markets. They recognized that they were missing a lot of business, so they started their alliance program, which is 10 or 12 years old now, and they now currently have, I don't know how many it is, close to 40 alliance offices around the country. They actually have more alliance brokers in their system than they do Cushman brokers. So, you know, that basically, that's another example of the initiative of you know, smaller independent firms hooking up with a national brand, you know, which enhances their opportunity to be introduced to new business and you know, it basically gives them a much larger platform than they had prior.
Yeah, I certainly see advantages as well as disadvantages going with a larger firm, but I'm not sure the technology really has a lot to do with that. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, I would see that the advancements in technology and communication and the ability to do it, it's democratized the brokerage business in that the little guy has access and is as able to communicate as the big guy and may even have more flexibility.
And I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think our independent members in SIOR are stronger now than they had been in the past for that very reason. I mean, someone said the internet and the technology that's evolved is like the six gun back in the Old West. I mean, you had that made everybody equal. It didn't matter if you were the big bad guy or the little bank teller. You had your six gun, and you were equal. And the same thing has occurred with a lot of the information technology that's expanded.
Do you have any examples of that lightning change? You know, what specific technologies that you've experienced or the change over the last year that has come to your awareness?
Well, I it probably is more than just a year window, but I think one of the dramatic things that has occurred during this recent recession is the emergence of platforms, basically kind of commoditizing the acquisition process, and it's been mainly a result of distressed assets. But auction.com is a mm-hmm. great example. that's a fairly new platform, and it was a result of the recession, whereby banks and loan servicers could put their properties up on an auction platform just to sell them like commodities as opposed to just specific investments or to owner users. And, the brokers don't participate in that. In other words, that's a principal direct kind of a marketing plan where the auction.com presents the properties to potential buyers and they bid on them and buy them. And that pertains not just to properties, but there's been a robust activity in selling distressed notes through that same vehicle. And that's really kind of changed the field of those types of investment sales.
That's interesting because I've had Eric on my show, Eric Paulson. But there were a couple of comments now that you're talking about auction.com. There were a couple of comments that he and I or discussions that he and I have had. One of which is as to the note market seems to be diminishing considerably. It was really hot over a year ago. And that seems to be diminishing at this point in time. And the other is, and he takes this position, and I kind of agree with him, that the auction.com process, while it allows non-brokers to get involved in the sale process, they encourage participation by brokers, and that it's his position that it enhances what a broker can do. And I think that that's true if you fully understand what they're doing over there.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I'm not saying that that auction.com is bad for brokers. I mean, I'm just saying it's changed a fairly significant segment of how people are transacting, and the brokers need to figure out how to take advantage of that. You mentioned the diminishing note sales, and that's primarily a function of just buyers that have acquired these notes and really gotten themselves into some serious trouble. I mean, if there's someone selling a note, you don't get the title until you basically foreclose on the property or work on a friendly foreclosure or whatever. And those things don't always happen the way you plan on them. So people declare a bankruptcy after you've acquired the note and you're caught in a litigious environment for God knows how long. So there's been some real horror stories of buyers of those notes getting themselves in some real trouble. So I think that's changed a bit the focus on auctioning off notes. I mean, it takes a very astute buyer that knows what they're getting into to deal in that market.
That's very, very true, because you don't have as much of an opportunity to do your due diligence because you can't go in there and interview the tenants, et cetera. So that's a little bit of a problem. I also understand that it's not a secondary market, but the notes now that are being sold are secondary in nature. Two, three years ago, a lot of notes were being sold, which were involving distressed properties. And now those who bought those notes are looking to sell those notes. So it's almost a different market at this point in time.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, there's questions about licensing issues for brokers in being involved in those transactions. I mean, is it a real estate transaction or is it a securities transaction? And that poses some other serious considerations for brokers that, get involved with that.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I'd like to thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
So that's it from Mike Hillis, president of SIOR.
Please listen again next time to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Every live and recorded broadcast is accessible on your desktop, tablet, or smartphone at creradio.com or in iTunes, just search for CRE Radio. Here's how to reach us with your questions, feedback, and show topics you'd like to hear about. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@CREradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue. CRE Radio broadcasts are presented on an informational basis only, with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our listeners. Howard and his guests' conversations specifically do not offer legal advice. If you need legal advice, please consult your own attorney. Portions of the show may have been pre-recorded. Unauthorized editing or copying of the show without the express written consent of CRE Radio is strictly prohibited. All rights reserved.
And that's a wrap.